listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Tuesday morning, and it is time for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor this morning, Pastor Mark Christensen from First Lutheran Church in Missoula, Montana. Pastor Christensen, welcome to His Time.
Thank you, Andy.
Absolutely. Looking forward to studying God's Word with you this morning in Acts chapter 9. First, I'd love to learn about First Lutheran Church in Missoula, Montana.
All right. Well, we're one of two LCMS congregations here in Missoula, and about 15 years ago, built a new facility and have experienced some great growth as we continue to minister here to the community of Missoula. The University of Montana is located here in Missoula. Our football team has managed to make it to the national finals on a number of occasions. So being a follower of the Grizzly is part of being a Missoulian.
Well, thanks be to God that you are there proclaiming the good news of Jesus. The saints are gathering around the good word of God, receiving his gifts. And part of that includes studying God's word, which we're doing today in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22. Pastor, anything you'd like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
You know, Andy, as our listeners probably remember, this follows the martyrdom of Stephen. And Saul is busy persecuting the church and is now headed to Damascus to continue that process. So.
All right, Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22 is what we're studying with Pastor Mark Christensen of First Lutheran Church in Missoula, Montana. If you have a question or a comment today as we're studying in Acts chapter 9, the listener lines are open, 314-821-0850 in St. Louis, or toll-free in North America at 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Acts chapter 9, beginning at the first verse, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anything, any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.' The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank." So, Saul, this man breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, goes to the high priests, asks for letters to the synagogue at Damascus, so that if anybody is a part of the way, men or women, he could bring them bound to Jerusalem. Pastor?
Well, think of the intent that Saul had. It wasn't just to slow him down or discourage people. He was bent on seeing the way the Christians, the disciples, put to death, to literally wipe it from the face of the earth, to extinguish this growing heresy within the Jewish faith. And I came across a couple of commentaries that talked in terms of that maybe Saul, after the martyrdom of Stephen, maybe that there was the beginnings or stirrings of wondering, gosh, maybe there's something to this, And based on what Luke is recording here, I just don't see that. I don't think there was any doubt in Saul's mind in terms of his intention, what he was headed to Damascus to try and do, and even the prep prior to his departure in terms of having the arrest warrants in hand, and then knowing that that he was headed into Damascus with the thought of routing out this this sect and bringing them back bound to Jerusalem to I think ultimately to have them put to death.
Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, this isn't something that happens to me frequently. I don't know about you, but on the road, and suddenly a bright light from heaven shone around him, and hears a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?"
Well, and that is such a unique conversion for most of us. You know, we don't experience anything quite that dramatic. But then I think most of us aren't breathing murderous threats either. But to have the Lord Jesus himself come and to be a part of Paul's transition or conversion, if you will, is pretty spectacular. And I think part of, you know, when you think of the work that Jesus had for Saul, and when you think of how he was going to use Saul, and the fact that that work demanded, if you will, an authority on the part of Saul as his ministry unfolded and as he became recognized as one of the apostles, he needed to see the Lord Jesus himself to have that as part of his resume, if you will, and to validate his apostleship.
So he says, Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." So he asks, Jesus answers.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in the past, when I've kind of read through this and thought, you know, "Who are you, Lord?" I think in the back of my head a little bit, I was thinking that it was somewhat of a rhetorical question. But I've kind of shifted that thinking a little bit. I think it's more Saul is recognizing that something pretty spectacular is going on here, and it's more of a recognition of a superior. He doesn't know if it's God or Jesus or who. He's just being very respectful in his response, and when he answers, "I am Jesus," that had to kind of take his breath away. I would certainly think so. The other thought that I think begins to kind of slide out of our text here a little bit. Is that the connection that's being made here or implied here between the church, Christ's body, and he himself, because, you know, Saul's out there pursuing individuals, but really the persecution is aimed at the church at large of removing this or eliminating this heresy. And I find that kind of a neat connection that between the body of Christ, the church, and Jesus himself, who Saul is persecuting.
The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. So there were men traveling with him, and they were, well, speechless.
Well, and just the, you know, the fact that in later on, when in Acts, when Saul himself recounts this story, we learn just a little more that they saw the light, they heard the sound of the voice, but it didn't make sense to them. It was a vision and a message specifically for Saul himself, and I can't help but wonder what they were thinking as this all unfolded, as they were a part of it and yet not a part of it in hearing or being able to understand what Jesus was saying to Saul. And of course they're hearing Saul responding with "Who are you, Lord?" And then Saul being confronted with his sin of persecuting the church, and you know, in that moment, being crushed when he, as he understands, to whom is he speaking, and then what he is being accused of at the same time, and here is companions, traveling companions, probably folks from the temple itself, who would be then helping with the arrests and probably also helping with the transportation of the folks that Saul was arresting there in Damascus, getting them back once again to Jerusalem for trial and death.
Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank.
Yeah, boy. I don't know, you know, I don't know about you, Andy, but in times where, in times of crisis, if you will, how, you know, you just don't even feel like eating or drinking. I think of, you know, when my parents passed away, that was kind of the last thing that was on my mind, and I think of Saul after this experience of being of confronted by the Lord himself with his sin, and literally, I think, being kind of overwhelmed, and again, probably my suspicion would be that the last thing on his mind would have been eating and drinking. And of course, fasting would be a part of his mentality in terms of an act of repentance, a time of maybe even a time of, use the word carefully, mourning. But and it's also somewhat interesting, the 3 days. We see that coming up in Scripture often, and of course, for most of us, our immediate thought is Christ's time in the tomb, and what neat symmetry between the two, as Saul kind of goes through that transformation process of from Saul the persecutor to Paul the apostle.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Mark Christensen of First Lutheran Church in Missoula, Montana. We're in Acts chapter 9 today, verses 1 through 22. If you have a question or a comment, the listener lines are open, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
Lutheran Senior Services invites you to explore its Hidden Gems Resale Shop at 9051 Watson Road in Crestwood. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Hidden Gems offers fantastic bargains on gently used home furnishings, jewelry, books, toys, clothes, and more. And best of all, each purchase through Hidden Gems goes to support older adults who have outlived their ability to support themselves. Lutheran Senior Services, trusted for a reason. LSSLiving.org.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
Listening to His Time, I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor today, Pastor Mark Christensen from First Lutheran Church in Missoula, Montana. We're in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22. Pastor, anything up through verse 9 before we go on to verses 10 and following?
No, I'm ready.
All right, let's take a look at Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Now, there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. So here we have a disciple at Damascus named Ananias.
Yeah, poor guy. You know, just to be, to know Saul's history. And, you know, at this point, Ananias doesn't have an idea of what all has happened to Saul, and to be asked by the Lord to head on over there and essentially introduce yourself to the guy who's there to haul off the believers in Damascus, I can well identify with him taking a huge deep breath and saying, "Well, no, just a second here, Lord. We have some issues." And an interesting little aside, I found it kind of curious about the Lord had said, "Rise and go to the street called Straight," and I'm like, my goodness, they have little street signs in Damascus so you can find everybody. But I read that Straight Street is actually one of the few straight streets in Damascus, that most of the others are crooked and narrow, and it's one of the streets that kind of goes through the whole city. So at least the Lord made it fairly easy for Ananias to find Saul.
So the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight at the house of Judas. Look for a man named Tarsus, from Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. He's had a vision that you will come, a man named Ananias will come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight."
Well, and, you know, think... there's about to be two very big healings for Saul. One, a physical, getting his sight and his vision back, but even more so, the spiritual side through laying on of Ananias's hands. He regains his vision, and then and is filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized, and away we go. The I find it really kind of exciting where Lord kind of fills Ananias in just a little bit, so that to alleviate some of the consternation that he has with heading over to Judas's house, and that whole concept of him being Saul being a chosen instrument of mine, and to a certain extent, at this moment Ananias is also operating as a chosen instrument, and it got me thinking about that word and how in the English language the word instrument to a musician is going to mean one thing. They're going to think trumpet or guitar. To a technician at a crime lab, they'll be thinking of some sort of a spectrometer or something to analyze something. An airline pilot would be thinking of an instrument panel. In the context here, you know, we see that that it's really being a tool of the Lord, and I really kind of like that that concept of a tool that that God is going to be using Saul in some very, very special ways, and uses his people today in much the same way, that times when I'm feeling maybe the least confident of terms of my abilities, or called upon to do something that is maybe a little out of my comfort zone, I try to keep that in the back of my mind, that as a follower of Jesus, as one of his disciples, that I'm a tool. I'm one of God's many, many instruments, and especially within the life of the congregation, appointment of the pastoral office, it's just very exciting to see how God uses so many people in so many different ways, and how that all comes together as a particular congregation in a particular time and place, and of course as the story unfolds in Acts, and as we read in Paul's letters later on in the New Testament, we see just how powerfully God did use this chosen instrument of his.
But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." but Lord.
yeah. But Lord, yeah.
This kind of reminds me of Moses.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who am I? I can't speak eloquently.
Yeah, well, and you know, I think that winds up being somewhat a challenge for all of us, even those of us in the pastoral office. You kind of have those but Lord moments here and there in our lives, and I think it sort of points to in my mind anyway the necessity of staying connected with the Word, because you see examples like this. You see poor Ananias with that reservation and a little bit of reluctance, and you know, yet he still moves forward, and look what a huge blessing he was in the life of Saul at this particular time.
For I will show you the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name."
And boy, did he ever. You know, I still find myself somewhat amazed and quite honestly flabbergasted that Paul faced not just people making fun of him or teasing him or I don't know, even throwing rocks at him, but you know, the number of times that he wanted, people wanted to kill him, and that he had to sneak out of town or be lowered on a basket over the wall and slip away in the middle of the night, or and then the shipwrecks and the beatings and the arrests, and yet he rejoiced in those. He saw those as an affirmation of, you know, I've been called to do this. This I'm going to do, and it doesn't matter what happens on the backside or the threats to my life, or and so, you know, when you think in terms of how much he must suffer for the sake of my name, I find myself inspired by him. He didn't get discouraged. He didn't, after the second or third time that people tried to kill him, he didn't head back to Tarsus and say, "Well, I'm done with that. That's just not working out." He was off to the next town and back in the synagogue. And I can just imagine him sneaking out in the middle of the night, getting out of one place, getting to the town, next town early in the morning, having a little breakfast, and heading over to the synagogue preaching Jesus Christ, the risen Lord and Savior, the Messiah, first thing the next morning. And what an example of persistence and just staying, I guess, and maybe that's the biggest thing, is just staying focused on the proclamation of the gospel. He just was not going to be deterred.
So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened.
You know, I just a little personal aside on the laying his hands on him. I have just recently, in the last couple of years, been more conscientious, maybe the word would be, that in private prayer with someone, of placing my hand on their shoulder, I guess maybe a little more awareness of praying over someone, someone that's hurting or in need, and just sort of the power of that touch. Here at First, we, for the last 12 years, have been doing mission trips a couple times a year to an orphanage in Mexico, and have really developed some strong relationships with the people there. In this last trip that we had in May, I had the opportunity to pray with a young gal, 16 years old, and who came from just horrible circumstances in terms of being forced into prostitution by her mother and grandmother at the age of 12. And she, to pray with her and to pray over her, she was just an amazing experience, as she tried to let go of kind of the pain and the hurt and the anger that she felt now that she was free from that. Was a very powerful moment, and to be able to bring the healing and peace of Christ to her in that way was really a special time in my ministry.
We have just about a minute and a half to take a look at these last few verses here. Let's take a look at the second half of verse 19. "For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is the Son of God.' And all who heard him were amazed and said, 'Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?' But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ."
He didn't waste any time, did he? He was baptized, had a little food, and away he went. I do want to point out, just because I found it kind of interesting, the "for some days." He was actually in the area of Damascus, maybe not in Damascus itself, but for a period of about 2 years from what I saw. And you have to admit, it would be pretty surprising for the Jews in Damascus, who are expecting this big cheese from Jerusalem, to show up and deal with this problem of these believers, the followers of the way in Damascus, within a couple of days of Saul's arrival there, he's in the synagogue proclaiming and professing that Jesus is the Messiah. I can surely identify with the Jews being confounded at that. But boy, just think of the power of the Holy Spirit that seized Saul, if you will, and just from that point on, he was without a doubt a completely different man than he was just a few days prior to that.
Looking over the text as a whole, and just about 30 seconds left, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text today?
Well, I think just a couple things to one has to marvel at the power of the Holy Spirit. One has to marvel at how God chooses his instruments. And we see that time and time again in Scripture. And I think also then that all of us continue to sort of have that attitude and that spirit of, okay, as a disciple, I'm an instrument of the Lord. Use me as you will. Use me, whether it's at work or within my family, within my church family. Here I am.
We've been studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Mark Christensen of First Lutheran Church in Missoula, Montana, in Acts chapter 9. Pastor Christensen, thanks so much for being our guest and helping us study this text.
You're very welcome, Andy. My honor and privilege.
God bless you and all the saints there at First Lutheran Church in Missoula, Montana. Coming up in just a little bit, sacred music to sanctify your morning. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.